This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
It's time right now for today's Islander preview with the wonderful Rick DiPietro, and it's brought to you by Coors Light. Coors Light, made to chill. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Michael, how's it going, man?
All good. I want you to hear something, because I think you'll enjoy it.
No.
So
computer's not working, actually, I was told.
People should actually listen to commercials and commercial reads. They shouldn't turn the channel when we go to break. Because if you do, you might miss a great moment. I want you to listen to this exchange between Peter and Andrew in the middle of a live read, Rick. Here we go.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
What do you think of that?
I think that's going to be a highly seeded drop. Madness.
He doesn't even have anything to say. He's so embarrassed right now. I don't know if he can recover.
It was a bad 2 days for him. Dave
Rosenberg
played the clip of him calling into your show yesterday. I can't believe Peter let Dave talk to him like that.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly, Dave, what's your name? Rick? I take Dave so not seriously when it comes to him just being a screaming Giants fanboy that it meant nothing to me. Now, real quick explanation for what just happened. Number one, I'm an absolute moron who should be taken off the air. Number two, I just was thinking about a messy goal in Copa America the other day, and I just blended the Euros in Copa America. It happened. I'm not proud of it. It's wrong, and I'm embarrassed.
Good. All those things are good.
I would have had more respect for you if you said you were thinking like of a Brazilian wax. And that's why you got this thing all screwed up.
You know what? You would say that because I know you're a Brazilian wax kind of guy.
I got a manzillion. You know that.
Yep.
Now, Rick, could you do me one favor, though? Please play that exchange on the show tomorrow. So I want to reach as many people as possible.
We'll do it. You know what we're going to do? We'll tease giving away the money. Right. And then just as about we're about to give away the money, we'll play that clip so everyone hears it.
Beautiful.
That's beautiful.
All right, so we have game three. As you can't say game three in any series without saying a pivotal game three. So it's 1-1, and I'll ask you what I just asked Don. What did we learn from the first two games that must be applied by either team tonight?
Well, I think we learned that the Tampa Bay Lightning team you saw in game one isn't really the Tampa Bay Lightning team that you're probably going to see for the rest of the series. I don't know what it was. I think it was partly the Islanders and how they showed up and the physicality. It just didn't look like Tampa was fully engaged like they were in game two. I think clearly in that second game, it was marooned. I mean, they wanted to make a statement that they weren't going to be bullied, that they were going to be able to match the physicality of the Islanders, and they set out to do that. And then, you know, their skill guys who didn't do much. I mean, honestly, they had three shots. That, you know, Palat, Kucherov, and point line, which is one of the better lines in hockey, had, you know, three shots in game one. They show up in game two, you know, nine shots. Kucherov has three assists. Palat scores, point scores. They created a lot more speed through the neutral zone, which the Islanders definitely have to eliminate here going into game three. Chances off the rush. That's, you know, that stretch play hurt them a couple different times. But for me in this series, because you're right, I mean, this game three, you went to Tampa, you took back home ice. The last thing you would want to do is, you know, all of a sudden in the first game back at the Collie is give that right back.
Now, the fans get caught up in it, Rick, but I'm wondering from a player's perspective, right? The Tampa fans are up in arms on the goaltender interference that leads to the Islanders' first goal. Islander fans are freaked out because of the too many men on the ice that led to what was, you know, the difference-making goal in game two. How do players get caught up in it? Do you just say that's hockey, or does it bother you that things aren't going your way with the officials?
No, I think, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, as a player, you realize what happened with that point penalty, it shouldn't have been a penalty. Like, I mean, if that was one of the Islanders players that got cross-checked into Vasilevsky and got called for a penalty, and then, you know, Tampa turns around and scores on that power play, you know, Islanders players would have been pissed. So, I mean, they realize that, you know, things go both ways, and we understand that. Here's what I don't understand. I'm sure, you know, Barry was aggravated with this too, is, you know, we sit there and we dissect, you know, an offsides by a, you know, a quarter of a centimeter. But you have a situation here, and you guys are showing on the TV right now, where, I mean, this is, you know, this is blatant. Like, I don't understand why this is, you know, this isn't reviewable, and, you know, that offsides is. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, because I was talking to EJ Raddick on my Game of Misconduct podcast, where you can get it with your podcast.
Right.
He says, like, he's charted, like, where, like, the game where there's sometimes seven guys on the ice. And he's always hoped that there'd be a goal, and then you'd see all six guys, like, on the ice at the same time. Like, you're right. Why could there not be an outlet for something like that, right? That you see it, you're dissecting offside, you're now dissecting goaltender interference, whether a goal crossed the goal line or not. That should be something on a goal where you should be able to easily review and see that there were six men on the ice, take the goal away and give them a power play.
It's not one of those penalties that's subjective, right?
No,
like, it's up to your interpretation.
Right, and you can't. And I don't want to hear the argument, well, it didn't affect the play, Barzal blew it. And I get it, it didn't affect the play, but still there's six guys on the ice, and that's illegal.
Yeah, penalty's a penalty. Like, I mean, you can have, if you have, you know, 12 guys on the field in football, and that guy has nothing to do with the play, you still had 12 guys on the field in football. It's illegal. It should be a penalty. So, yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, we're sitting here. The ice is small enough. I got two referees and two linesmen on the ice. You get not one of those linesmen or referees saw that there were that many Lightning guys skating around. Come on, man.
Now,
ridiculous.
You have obviously been there. You've done this. This is going to be quite the scene at the Coliseum. It's going to be loud. What does that do for a player, and what does that do against the team that's visiting? Does it have an effect?
I think it can have an effect in a couple different ways. I think as the game starts, you know, I told you this last time, in this building, you're sitting in the locker room, crowd's going crazy, especially now with an 8 o'clock start. You know they're tailgating. They'll be all lubed up. Place is going to be wild. They realize how important this game is. So you'll be in your stall waiting to go on the ice for the game, and you can feel the place just – it's shaking, right? So, you know, being locked in, intensity, you're ready to go. So you're screaming onto the ice. You can't wait for the puck to drop. So getting off to a fast start, which sometimes can hurt you if you're not smart. If you all of a sudden start to try to do too much and, you know, you're not – you have in a situation like that, sometimes it can go against you because – you actually end up doing things that you normally wouldn't do because you're so wrapped up in the moment. So you have to control that. But you'll see the Islanders' first 5 minutes. Like, they'll be, I'm sure, you know, Tampa, you know, coaches, players will be saying, okay, you know, boys, you know, first 5 minutes, we got to weather the storm because they're going to come up flying. And that's what they'll try to do. The negative effect it can have is if all of a sudden now you come out early in this game and Tampa scores. And now it's like, okay, you know, crowd silent. Now all of a sudden the pressure starts to pick up a little bit. But the beauty of being at home when you're playing well is that if you do start to pick up the momentum, it's much easier to carry the momentum when you have the home crowd behind you.
Does a crowd like that intimidate a visiting team?
A team like Tampa, no. No.
Okay.
No, that's what you try to do is just try to shut them up because you know how that will affect the home team. Like, if you have a way to early on in that game, like I said, score and just shut the crowd down, you know that all of a sudden now the Islanders are starting to feel the pressure.
Do you think we see Wahlstrom in the series? Should we?
That's a good question. I don't think that, you know, at the moment they start to do anything, you know, any changes like that now. But, I mean, as far as his ability to score, I mean, especially on the power play, I mean, their power play has been good, so that really hasn't been an issue. But I'll see how tonight goes. Like, if all of a sudden they feel like they need that little added punch of scoring, that could be something that you see.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So did you hear the exchange that I had with Dave yesterday where I brought him in and said that I liked him and just so I could turn it against Peter? Did you think that was brilliant, my friend?
Yeah, you know, this is why I love you, though. This is why, again, you know, me and you are simpatico and these guys don't get it. And listen, Dave, too, all he does is complain about it. He's a bad guy, too. He's got this whole new podcast network that he started. He's got, you know, new producers. He's posting, you know, videos of them just to, you know, to make RJ and Santiago feel like they're less. And he's got hair and makeup and everything. I mean, he's taken this whole thing to it. He's a diva now. I got yesterday, I'm the talent. I mean, the guy's changed.
No, he said that?
Yeah, I'm the talent. That's what he said. I'm the talent.
I'm the talent.
Oh.
Did you? I mean, if you were in the studio, if you were in the studio with him, punch him in the face.
Michael, this guy is such a lunatic.
I would
that yesterday.
Right in the nose.
Yeah, he says to Peter yesterday. So yesterday he gets into the fight with Peter, and I think this goes back to him buying two dogs, not just one. He's got two puppies that puke and poop all over the place. Like he's up at 4 o'clock in the morning walking dogs, and the sprinklers go off in his face. So he gets into the fight with Peter, where he wants to harm Peter, punch him in the face. He goes to dinner. And now he gets into an argument because there's a guy that's watching the Yankees game on both TVs, and Dave says, can you please put the Mets game on? And the guy says, no, I want to watch both Yankees games. So he gets into a confrontation with this guy. You know what? You're being selfish. Oh, yeah.
Well, he was.
Although, I mean, I hate to defend Dave here, but what do you have to have the game on two TVs? You're not getting it from a different angle. He should have the Met game on the other TV.
Hey, listen, I don't disagree, but it's out of character for Dave to start challenging people in restaurants.
And also, he would get his head handed to him. This is not a good time to argue with people.
But that's what I'm saying to him. I'm trying to warn him that bad things are going to happen. I'm going to go onto the show on one of these mornings, and he's not going to be there because he got beat up.
Or even worse.
Yeah, I mean, there is a worse to that, too. What? I mean, I've seen his athletic ability at the beach bash.
No, you could get killed in this day, Dom. People carry guns. They're angry. What are you doing? You can't pick a fight in public anymore. You can't have road rage. It can end tragically.
Of Kevin Durant.
Who's Kevin Durant?
After that, Dante Bichette, 2-run single. Dante, huh?
I guess the French version of Kevin Durant, maybe, I guess.
Ah, Kevin Durant.
Now, how do you consume the Islanders tonight? What do you do? Do you go to the Collie, as you say, or you have the big screen in the DiPietro mansion? What do you do?
I'm going to watch it at home. I haven't gone yet. I've been invited a couple different times. I was going to actually ask Dave if he wanted to go tonight. I would have sucked it up and went with Dave, but he's like, oh, no, I'm a Rangers fan. There's no chance I would ever go. I was like, well, just come experience it. He's like,
right.
Never.
Isn't he a sports fan?
That's what I said to him. But the guy grew up, 7 minutes from the Coliseum, and he somehow ends up a Rangers fan. I don't understand it.
Let me put this out there for you, Rick, because how close I feel to you. If the Islanders are playing at home and you have an invite, and the Yankees are off, I will go with you.
Will you really?
Yeah, I really will. Because Don said we never get together, so we're not really close. So let's do it.
Yeah, but how many, outside of playing, frisbee golf with his buddy for the 45 minutes he has in between now and the pregame show, how often is he getting together with buddies?
Never. That's why he just throws
grenades. No, but anybody that's a friend of mine, I've gotten together with him. This is not a pandemic thing. Before the pandemic, unless he invited you to one of his extravagant parties, you've never hung out with a guy.
Great
ever.
Point.
We talk almost every day. I mean, I text him almost every single day.
That's right. That's
what about a meal? What about a meal?
Yeah, well, listen, you up is not really a conversation.
He has three children. I have two children. It's not easy to get together.
No, it's not. It's not easy.
But I will go to the Islander game with you.
Oh, that's a date. And by the way, Peter, relax. Not all of us can take the $500 and go to Jamaica and start DJing and everything. We don't have that kind of free time.
You think it was $500?
No, I think it was more than that. I checked out the new album. He's talented. I hate to even say it, but he is. I'm saying it had to be at least $10,000.
Wow, look at you.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Do you know anybody in the private jet business? Because Peter was snoring on Twitter.
Oh, he definitely does. Rick definitely
never.
Knows.
No, I'm a man of the people. I fly commercial. I'll tell you.
Really? Have you ever flown private?
Yeah, I have.
Somebody else paid for it, though.
No, I didn't. We had a buddy. So when I played, when I was with the Islanders, we had one of the guys on the team ask if we wanted to go to a Red Sox game 7. I think it was game 7 against Cleveland. And, we showed up and he paid for the jet and the tickets and we just flew to Boston and watched the game.
That's a good friend. That's a good friend.
That's what you're looking for, right, Schnurr?
I need a friend like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, enjoy the game.
You really going to start flying private now? That's where we're at with you? Private planes?
No, I was looking for one hookup for one weekend in which I have to be all over the globe in 24 hours. So I was looking for a hookup. I was going to document the whole thing. It really wasn't that crazy an idea. Michael just used it as an opportunity to successfully villainize me to those who already hate me. Congratulations. Michael could have said anything, by the way. Peter likes his hamburgers medium rare. I would have been vilified for that.
Do you like the medium rare?
Yeah, I'm a medium rare guy.
Yeah, cool.
I'm Rick, medium well.
Enjoy the game tonight, Rick, and we'll talk to you before game four.
Sounds good, and I look forward to catching one of these games with you, Michael.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I mean, that would truly be awesome to go to an Islander game with an Islander great. I love it. I want to do it.
Even if I had two extra tickets, I wouldn't even invite Don and Peter because they don't understand us.
No, because Don would only go out of his house for Frisbee. I think Peter would show up. Peter's an event guy.
And I like the Coliseum, actually. That would be a great time. I actually would do that, legit.
All right, well, let's make a date of it. I'll see if I get tickets to one of these games. We'll see how the series goes, and we'll try to make a date out of it.
I would love
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful. Thank you, Rick. As always, tomorrow from 5 to 8, DCR. Great show. You should tune in every single day. You never know what Rothenberg's going to say. Thank you, Rick. He's gone. Wow. Harsh. 1-800-919-3776. We'll break it down. We've got to talk some Yankees from yesterday as well. It's Kayla Greca, Rosenberg, DiPietro, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.